let's get some of the plot elements out of the way and tell me about Brandon and what his actual height is.
6'8¼". And you'd like to know more about him?
Well, he only cops to 6'6" or something.
He only admits to 6'6", but he's actually 6'8¼" just because he doesn't think anybody else can really fathom being over 6'6". And plus, he's kind of trying to draw less attention to himself. But yeah, that's just one of the unusual things about him. He also thinks in images. He thinks in pictures more than he thinks in words, which made him a challenge to write, but I thought worked well as a in the role that I had him set in, because I wanted a character that was going to be kind of hyper-observant in a different fashion than the rest of the characters in the book. And I also liked having him have at least a titch of autism, because of my research through on Temple Grandin and autism. I always thought it was fascinating how she found human behavior so confounding, but animal behavior was so clear to her. So I played with that too.
Brandon has an unusual job.
As a Border Patrol agent?
Well, that's the first book I've seen with Border Patrol agent.
There's five characters that we juggle in this book, in my mind, predominantly, and he's obviously central. But I felt that one of the characters needed to be a Border Patrol agent. I wanted him to be a rookie Border Patrol agent, and part of the reason for that is that that's kind of when I fell in love with the idea of the story, is when I was riding around with Border Patrol agents up on the border when they were ramping up and they just tripled their forces up there. And so I'm riding around with these guys that are getting more and more candid as the nights go on. And I just thought that they had a real interesting perspective of looking at the terrain completely differently, because they're seeing the smugglers and the illegals coming across in what seems like just this gentle, peaceful terrain. And so I thought the idea of having a rookie Border Patrol agent who grew up in the area, kind of seeing this underbelly of what he thought he knew so well, could be refreshing, as opposed to having an old, embittered Border Patrol agent up there.
I also like the way that is sort of kind of accidentally
stumbles into busts and so on.
Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what I got from hanging around these guys, is just that there is a lot of time on their hands, and so that's why it also made it possible in my mind for him to be a birder and for him to be doing his bizarre landscape art that he does, and that there's a certain kind of roulette to, you know, who's going to make the bus and who's not going to make the bus. So I thought, well, you know, why not have the action come to him, and people start wondering if he's got some gifts for this. And he's obviously got some odd gifts, but whether or not it's actually busting people, I don't know. It's more like just paying attention in a way that others don't.
The border being little more than
a ditch. And that was one of the reasons that I got excited about the book in the first place, is just that driving along up there, there's these sections where you have a Canadian neighborhood on one side and an American neighborhood on the other, and they're rural neighborhoods, but they are neighborhoods, and they're just divided by, you know, literally by a drainage ditch. And in the old days, back to the 1990s and before, it used to be common to cross over the ditch and go see your neighbors on the other side or help them out farming or whatever it is. But after 9/11, it suddenly became this, important, significant line that people didn't cross without fear of consequence, and it just changed the atmosphere in a way that I thought was, you know, provocative.
Tell me about Madeline, who has her own particular interest in the border, and it's not involving terrorism.
She, like Brandon, is a rookie in her field, but her field is marijuana cultivation and smuggling, and she just kind of gets into this on a early 20s desire to get more out of life, and it kind of goes in the direction of most drug adventures. But I liked having the ingredient that she and Brandon knew each other since childhood and grew up across the border from each other. So if anybody understood this 6'8" dyslexic Border Patrol guard, it was probably her. And now all of a sudden he's in a line of business where he's getting increasingly aware of all the drug activities up there and her potential involvement in it. And so it made for a an unusual. It's called a love story on the book jacket, but it's an unusual relationship altogether.
As the book goes along, more and more people seem to have this hobby of sticking substances in their trunk,
right,
or people in their trunk, and,
right,
and by the end of the book, you're wondering, is there anyone who's not smuggling something across the damn border?
Well, and that kind of came from the fact that when they tripled the border patrol up there, you know, to stop terrorists, what they found is all kinds of other stuff. You know, they didn't find terrorists. What they found is, you know, that marijuana smuggling was going through at 5 to 10 times more than they expected of the BC bud moving down through Washington, Oregon, and California, and then also they just found all kinds of stuff. It's if you look, you find it, and they found far more variety of illegal immigrants from 20, 30 different countries a month, and they just didn't realize all this trafficking was going on. And what I'm writing about and what I'm telling about is all within this 30-mile strip of the western end of the border. So, as the Border Patrol guards used to say, you know, when they're driving around with me, is that we only catch the stupid ones.
The book is Border Songs. I've been speaking with the novelist Jim Lynch, and Border Songs, published by Random House of Canada.